Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
I have seen a great disregard for the Word of God among saved people and lost people alike. And in thinking about why there is such a disregard for the words of God, I believe that I've seen something in Mark chapter 4, verse 19, in a way perhaps that I haven't seen it before. Mark chapter 4 is about the parable of the sower and the seed. And in verse 19, the Lord is giving an explanation about what happens to the word of God that is sown among thorns. And he says in verses 18 and 19, "These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word," watch it, "and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." So Mark chapter 4, verse 19 exposes three things that choke the word and make it, not the person, but the word of God, unfruitful. These choke the word in a Christian, for sure, because I believe that's what we're talking about in Mark chapter 4, verse 19. But they also choke the word when it is preached to a lost person. And that's the part that I never really applied to this verse of Scripture. Perhaps we're taking a little bit of preacher license here, because we're not teaching the doctrinal application of Mark 4:19, but I have sure seen the spiritual application in dealing with people. These three things choke the word. Number one, cares of this world. The cares of this world. Now, the word of God bears fruit in your life when you receive it and live by it, all right? Let's say that you're a lost person and you hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ preached, and you believe what you're hearing, you believe the words of God, and then you decide you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and so you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible tells you that when you do that, you are born again by the Word of God. I'll say that's very fruitful. That's very fruitful. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So, since the word of God lives and abides forever, and it bears the fruit of eternal life in you, because you're born again, you live forever. Well, you talk about a very powerful word. You talk about a very fruitful word. I'll say there are literally millions, tens of millions of people over all the years that have been saved by believing the Lord Jesus Christ, and they did it because they heard the words of God and put their faith in Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God bears fruit in your life when you receive it and live by it. It orders your steps. Psalm 119, verse 133 says, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." It illuminates your path. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It improves your understanding. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple." That's all from the word of God. It lights your path. It orders your steps. It gives you understanding. And you know something? When you're trying to sort something out, and it's really baffling you because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, you can read that Bible, and that Bible is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow. Watch it, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You can sort out your heart, which is deceitful, before God by going to the Word of God, and that Word will produce fruit in you, disclose your thoughts and intents, get you to turn away from something that your heart has deceived you into doing and straighten out your life. You talk about fruitfulness. It gives you strength in battle. In the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the shield of faith. And you know where faith comes from. It comes from the Word of God. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I know we could just go on all day quoting all these verses of Scripture in the Bible that just pertain to the fruitfulness of the Word of God. But let me just say it in this way. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and he was thanking God. And he said in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, this cause we thank God, or he said, for this cause also thank we God, without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Well, you get that word of God in you, and it goes to work in you effectually. It is going to produce wonderful fruit in your life. Although I just cannot emphasize enough the beauty and the wonder and the glory and the fruitfulness of the words of God. But when you become, listen, when you become more concerned with the cares of this world than you do with the words of God, those cares will choke the word of God. That's what the Bible says. Such as hear the word, and the cares of this world entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So this very powerful, eternal word of God that does all these wonderful things for you suddenly just kind of clicks off and doesn't work. Why? Cares of the world entered in, and they choke that word. Now, I'll give you some examples. I'm hoping the Holy Spirit really will bless the preaching of the words in this message to make application specifically in your life where the Word of God is being choked because you are consumed with the cares of this world. But I'll give you a couple of illustrations so that you at least get some idea how these words you're hearing apply in life. Husbands and wives naturally care for the things of this world. That's a natural thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 33, the Bible says, he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Verse 34, there is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Well, Paul said, a husband will care for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife, and that a wife careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. That's natural. But you know something? When those cares, and they are there, when those cares compete with the work of the words of God in their marriage, then those cares choke the word. See, in our marriages, we have to be very careful. I have to maintain private devotions. That is, read the Bible and pray. We've got to do that. And yet, at the same time, I need to care for my wife. If all my cares for my wife prevent me from spending time in the Word of God and in time with the Lord in prayer, then those cares that I have for the world to please my wife have choked the Word of God. And now the Word of God is not fruitful in my life. And if it's not fruitful in my life, our marriage is going to suffer as a result. Your marriage will suffer as a result. Young families rarely have family devotions. And routinely, young families attend only, if they do this much, one church service a week. In other words, when they do go, they usually only go once a week, but they don't usually go every week. They're rarely faithful at church. And you say, well, what's the big deal of that? Listen, the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, that is at least in the pulpit of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching preacher, is going to do something in you. God will give you things from the Word of God when you read. God will give you things from the Word of God when you study. And I realize sometimes you're homebound and can't leave to go to church. But I'm going to tell you something. if you don't go, you miss out what you get from God from the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. God has ordained it so that some of what we get because we're sitting down and listening to a man expound the words of God. I cannot tell you how much I have learned and how much I have grown as a result of listening to other men preach and teach the Word of God. And when you cut yourself off from that, you know what? That avenue of the work of the Word of God in your life is choked out. Okay? So marriage is a great example where you see that the fruitfulness of the Word of God can be such a help. You cannot imagine how many good instructions are in the words of God that will help you to have a happy marriage, a fruitful marriage, a God-blessed marriage, and yet you cut that off because you get consumed by all the cares and leave out the Word of God. All right, here's another area. Business. Businessmen and businesswomen naturally care for their employment. But when those cares compete with the work of the words of God, then they choke the word. Like, for instance, working on Sunday. I remember listening to a sermon preached by a fellow who was having to work at a restaurant. And he was in Bible college. And he was dressed in his work uniform when he went to Sunday school one day. And he said, after Sunday school, I had to leave because I had to go report for work. And on his way out the door, all the other people are coming in for church or coming from the other Sunday school classes. And he gets in his car, and while he's driving to work, he says to the Lord, "Lord, I can't do this. I need to work. Obviously, got to pay my bills. But I cannot do this. I cannot miss out on the preaching of the Word of God on Sunday because I'm trying to, because I have to work. Please help me in my discussion with my employer to be able to solve this problem." And he got with his employer and he said, "Is there any way that you can schedule me so that I don't have to work on Sunday?" He said, "That's fine." He said, "I've been seeing that you go to church and go faithfully, and I will make it so that you can be in church on Sunday." And that's how God took care of that and kept him from being cut off from the fruitfulness of the Word of God. But you know something? There are some people that like their work so much, they look forward to using that as an excuse. And what happens, you become so consumed with work, you can't even concentrate on reading your Bible. You get up in the morning and all you can think about is your business and your, you know, what you got to do for that day and how much work it's going to take. And you get home so tired at night, there's no way you're going to spend any time in the Word of God. And so all of that fruitfulness is cut off. And you know, the sad thing is, that the Word of God has so much good stuff in it about how to have a blessed business. And it's unbelievable. If you would run your business according to the Word of God, you would run it better than you're running it now. And you wouldn't be in the shape you're in. I often said if I'd been reading the Bible when I was still in the banking business, I mean, I did start reading it the last 2.5 years that I was there, but if I'd been reading it and following it the entire time, oh boy, it would have been a whole lot different story than the way it turned out. Would have been much better in that business following what the Bible says. Cares of this world, recreation and entertainment often choke the word. Oh, skipping church to hunt. Oh, you say, "Well, I can commune with God in that deer blind." You are not going to hear the kind of thing you're going to hear in the service. You are not going to be concerning yourself with those great words of God, hunting and fishing and vacationing on the weekend. It chokes the word. I've seen people who say, "Oh, bless God, I've talked to them. They don't grow. They're weak. The Word of God is not bearing fruit in their lives." Why? It's choked. Men and women who are consumed with these things, this stuff we've been talking about, they don't care to hear the gospel. They're too busy. I'm telling you, on Sunday afternoons, we have gone into neighborhoods and tried to visit with people about their souls. They don't want to be bothered with this. And I understand we live in a culture and a day and an age where people are inundated with advertising on the internet, and they're getting phone calls at all hours of the day from telemarketers, and they're getting knocked on the door by Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons till they are S-I-C-K, sick of it. I got that. And so when we come around, they don't want to talk to us anymore. They want to talk to any of these other guys because they're turned off by all of that. So I'll grant you that. But I want to tell you something. Those who do take the time to visit with us, they don't care anything about the Word of God. Why? They're choked out. They're choked out. They don't realize what God has to say in here, not only about eternal life, but their lives temporally and how much better their lives would be if they would follow God's words. They don't care. They don't want to know about it. Why? Choked out. They don't want God interfering with their plans. They don't realize how much better His plans are than theirs. And that's the problem. The Word is already choked. See, I never thought about it in terms of that, but truly lost people, they don't want to listen to that stuff. They're consumed with their own cares. They don't realize that God does care and that His plans are better. Well, another thing that'll choke the Word is the deceitfulness of riches. The Word of God has much to say about riches and wealth. It's amazing. I guess if you were a farmer and you started reading the Bible, you'd be amazed how much the Bible says about farming. And if you're a housewife, you'd be amazed how much the Bible has to say about keeping house. And if you're a financier, if you're dealing with money, you'd be shocked when you read the Bible how much the Bible has to say about riches and wealth. When I was in banking and I started reading the Bible, I just couldn't believe how much was in the Bible. I was astounded at how much was in the Bible that had to do with riches and wealth. And you know something? If you will follow the instructions of the Bible in making money and spending money and giving money, you will be surprised how well your finances will be managed. When you manage your finances according to God's words, it's amazing how few problems you have with money. To me, it's amazing how much God blesses those who follow His instructions. And I'll tell you something. There are two verses in the Bible that speak about an aspect of money most people don't like to hear, but I want to tell you something from biblical experience and personal experience and observational experiencing, watching this in other people's lives. 2 Corinthians 9:7 and Acts chapter 20, verse 35 are absolutely true. You say, well, what does 2 Corinthians 9:7 and Acts chapter 20, verse 35 say? 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, God loveth a cheerful giver. And Acts chapter 20, verse 35 says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I'm going to tell you something. Those verses are absolutely true. And when you are deceived by your riches that you got to hang on to and hoard these things, you are missing the benefit and fruitfulness of those two truths right there. Riches can be very deceitful. When men are deceived by riches, those riches choke the Word. Think of the rich young ruler that came to Jesus Christ in Matthew 19, Luke chapter 18. He turned away from Jesus Christ and he turned away from eternal life even though he needed it and he knew he needed it. And he inquired about it. He said, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus Christ told him, get rid of the wealth and you'll have treasure in heaven. But you'll also have that, you'll have that eternal life. He turned away from Jesus Christ. He turned away from that offer because of his riches. And you know what? If nothing changed after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that fellow went to hell. And he went to hell without his riches. If he had followed the Lord, he would have had eternal life and he would have had treasure in heaven to boot. Ananias and Sapphira got tripped up by the deceitfulness of riches and the Word of God didn't bear fruit in their lives. They died because their riches deceived them. They ended up lying to the Holy Ghost. Listen, when Christians are deceived by riches, their riches choke the Word and cut them off from the fruit of the Word of God in their lives. Listen, if you have been deceived by your riches, it is no wonder that the Word of God is not producing in your life what it is producing in another man's life, because those riches, the deceitfulness of those riches, have choked the Word in your life, not in his. God will bless you just as much as he's blessing the other fellow, but he can't do it when you've been deceived by riches and the Word of God is choked in your life. Instead, what's happened is you're pierced through with many sorrows. You say, well, that's true. All right, well, I'm going to read it to you where it's in the Bible so you'll see it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It's tragic. It's tragic. Absolutely tragic. But that's the deceitfulness of riches. And the Word of God's not producing the fruit you would hope that it would in your life. And it won't until you are no longer deceived by those riches. But then there's a third thing in Mark chapter 4, verse 19, that chokes the Word. And that's the lusts of other things entering in. The Word of God reveals to you all kinds of lusts that interfere in your relationship with the Lord. Basically, they are categorized into two categories: lusts of the flesh and lusts of the eyes. The lust of the flesh is a lust that is contrary to the Spirit of God. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, so that these are contrary to the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. These lusts of the flesh cause great turmoil in your spiritual life because you're always wanting what you know you can't have. That's the problem. You always want more food than you know you can eat because you're a glutton. You always want, you know, these other appetites, and just run down the whole list, to be fulfilled in your life. Greed, envy, and you can't have them. You know they're not right, and so they're constantly competing and agonizing your spiritual life. You know the trouble with lust is, listen, it never satisfies the appetite of the flesh. Lusts never satisfy the appetite of the eyes. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. That's what Proverbs 27:20 says. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. You will never see enough of what you want to see to be satisfied and say, I've seen enough. You just won't ever stop. And when your eyes and the lust of your flesh keep stirring you up, then the words of God are choked out. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The words of God are very satisfying. They are. When you read Psalm 119, verse 127, he says, therefore I love thy words above gold, yea, above fine gold. In Psalm 119, 140, he says, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Ah, better than honey and the honeycomb. Ooh. So satisfying. And the fruit of the words of God produces godliness in your life. And the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy 6:5. And you know what I've noticed in the conversations that I've had with young adults these days? Young adults who are given over to their lusts. They believe that they are right to do what they are doing and that the Bible is out of date and out of touch with their reality. That's what they believe. They believe that I'm an old fuddy-duddy living in the past when we point out that their lust is the motive for what they're doing. And in their heart, in their mind, no matter how they converse with you, no matter how they look at you, they think they're right. And they really believe that the application of the verses of Scripture we quote are either not applicable to them or that they are out of date, or that somehow or another they are no longer relevant. We are out of touch with reality. I've seen it over and over again. Experience is their reality. And when you get there, listen, the Word of God cannot bear fruit in their lives because they don't even believe what it says. And it doesn't work effectually in you until you believe it. Their lust have choked the Word. Now I'm going to ask you something. Which of these three is keeping the Word of God from bearing fruit in your life? The cares of this world? The deceitfulness of riches? The lusts of other things? Listen, if you are lost, if you don't know Jesus Christ right now, you've not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your faith is not in Jesus Christ. You have not believed yet the words concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you must believe this. God can satisfy you far more than your riches and your lusts. That's right. Oh, God can handle your cares much better than you can. You think, well, I got to take care of all these. I got to take care. See that? I got to take care of all these. No, you don't. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. And he does care for you. Listen, with Jesus Christ inside of you, there is a peace and there is a contentment that this world can never give you. There's a song that says, there's a peace in my heart that the world never gave. And he said, I've got a peace in my heart that the world can never take away. Ah, that's what comes with Jesus. That's what comes with the fruitfulness of the Word of God. But you don't know that. Because the cares of this world, your attention to your riches, the attention to your own personal lusts, have convinced you that if you give it all to God, if you go to God, he's not going to be able to satisfy you the way you think you're being satisfied right now. And you're wrong. You are wrong. Listen, if you're saved, you are missing all the blessings of the fruitfulness of the words of God by consuming your life on your cares, your riches, and your lusts. That's what you're doing. I've seen saved people, and they are not enjoying their salvation. They're saved. They know they're saved, but they're not enjoying their salvation. And when I go and have an opportunity to visit with them, or they come to ask about a thing, I'll tell you where their heart is. It's all tied up in their cares, their riches, and their lusts. That's it. And maybe that's where you are. May I tell you something? Everything you're worried about, everything that you are concerned about making money for, and all those lusts you have, they're going to all vanish with time. But the Word of God abideth forever, as does all the fruit that derives from those words of God. So don't let cares, don't let riches, don't let lusts enter in and choke the Word in your life. Put them aside, get in those words, and let them bear their fruit. You will be elated. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.